Song Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and not needles, and we all become better at writing songs. I'm your host, Mike Proudfoot, and with me are the members, my co-members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, my co-hosts, Neil Modi. Neil, hi, how are you?
I'm very good, and yes, my vaccine was for me and me alone, my needle.
Exactly.
Nobody touchy.
No sharing. But make sure you do get a vaccine. That's
right,
important.
Yes. Two of them.
Phil Emery. Words of wisdom from you, sir. How are you?
Well, I am good. I've been doing a lot of reflection over the last little while. And
you got a new mirror?
Yeah, almost. But I really sort of looked deep inside myself and figured out sort of where I want to go in life. And I've decided that I can, in fact, I can dig it. So if anyone is wondering out there, I can dig it. If anyone ever asks me if I can dig it, I can dig it.
Because the people were writing in wondering if you could or
can you dig it?
And you dig it.
We didn't have an answer until tonight. Can you dig it?
Yes, I can. So stop asking me.
It's a deeply philosophical question.
It is.
I wish I had that Pop Will Eat Itself single queued up. Can you dig it? We like the disco. We like that disco, son. Hey. All right. Well, since we now know that Phil can dig it, that's off the table. But during the show or even afterwards, please feel free to send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or send it via email to feedback@songtalk.ca, and we will share your thoughts with the rest of the audience. And visit us at songtalk.ca to find out how you might be a guest on our show. And speaking of our show, well, we have a fantastic show tonight. Perhaps we'll give a little sample of what you're about to hear from our special guests. Phil, can you spin a little bit?
Angeline, do you miss me like I miss you? Are you losing sleep and losing faith that we'll ever make it through? Angeline.
A fantastic show indeed with Sean Bertram. He's a multi-instrumentalist, producer and engineer, and a prolific singer-songwriter. He was awarded the Best Pop Song in North America, which, yeah, it's got to be pretty stiff competition, for Against My Will at the 2020 Intercontinental Music Awards, before graduating at the top of his class from Humber College's prestigious Bachelor of Music program. Congratulations, Sean. Bertram blends folk, pop, and neo-soul to create his own unique sound with emotive melodies and stunning, powerful lyrics. And he's recently released three new singles, two off his new solo album, which is coming out very, very soon, in about 3 days, maybe, 2 or 3 days. So we're very happy to have with us tonight, Sean Bertram. Welcome, Sean.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I'm good to be
Welcome
here.
Back.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think it's my third time.
Yeah, I think when you last were on the show, you were still enrolled at Humber College.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was my first or second year back then.
Yeah, and you were telling us how you were learning all about jazz.
Yeah.
And incorporating some of that in your
And look how far I've come.
Look how far you've come.
So have you actually brought in a lot of jazz into your songwriting?
Actually, I've actually taken out a lot more jazz than I've put in.
Yeah.
I used to be a lot more heavily inspired by it and really try to influence it. But now I've been kind of taking a simpler approach and been like, hey, how few chords can I use now?
So, which is quite the opposite approach.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious about it. How much attention is spent on lyric writing at this program?
Actually, I mean, there's a songwriting class there that I actually didn't take. but it's mostly just performance and then in the last year is a lot about engineering and making a record and working in the studio.
But was it that you didn't want to, you wanted to simplify the musical approach, or you wanted to put more emphasis on lyrics? Is that
a little of both? I mean, I spent a lot of my time in my earlier songs trying to like just kind of jam pack it full of chords and these progressions. It's like, oh, I want to play these, you know, progressions that nobody's heard before. Right. It's like, that's impossible. Everybody's heard everything before. So I was trying to focus more on and bringing emotion to the forefront. And that does put more of an emphasis on lyrics, I think. And I sometimes think simpler is better. And more I think that as I get older, as old as I am, you know.
Yeah, we had, Jeremy Voltz. You know Jeremy Voltz?
Yeah, I met a few times. He's fantastic.
He's amazing. And we had him on the show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about that very kind of thing, is where to introduce complexity and where to keep it simple. And that's something that I think most songwriters struggle with to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fine line that you kind of have to toe a lot of the time. And I think there's definitely room for it in every aspect, as you can have. But I think, like you said, it's a balance, and it's tough to find that balance, because if you have a very simple chord structure and a very simple melody and very simple lyrics, it can be very plain and almost boring at times. Mm-hmm. But if you have like a super, super complex chord structure and super complex lyrics and super complex melody, it's just, you could just get lost. Like, that's kind of why I don't like bebop anymore, because it's just like really, really intense chords and really intense melodies and solos. And it's just turned up to 11 all the time. I don't like that.
It often does sound like everyone's playing and nobody's listening to each other.
Yeah. Care. That's a big thing about it. That's kind of turned me off.
So there's lots of musicians at various points who question their own level of musical knowledge and musical book knowledge, not so much experience, but, you know, like the dots and the flags and the chords and all that stuff. So you've kind of gone through a fair amount of schooling. Looking back on that, how do you relate to it? Do you think that's something that helps you a lot, or what's your response to that?
Yeah, for me, at least, I think it helped me so much, because I'm very much, I have a big math brain. So I'm like, I need rules and structures to kind of help me keep going. So having a big background in theory and harmony really helps me to create a lot. And whenever I'm writing or doing anything like that, I'm always thinking in terms of in theory and harmony, and like how each chord relates to the root and things like that. So it definitely helps me a lot to create.
When you're creating, when you're writing, do you bring that knowledge into your consciousness, or is it so kind of ingrained in you now that you don't really think about it as much? You just sort of do it.
I think these days it's a little more ingrained. It's kind of, because I've done it so long and I've kind of used it as a songwriting tool for so long, that it's just kind of there. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more these days. I just listen and I'm like, I hear a melody or a chord structure in my head, and then just be able to play it. And then kind of afterwards, I'll think more about the relation in terms of scales and melodies and harmony and theory, because that'll help inform production and like other arrangement techniques.
Oh, okay.
What, how has your process changed? Are you, coming up with sort of like chord changes and then writing a melody on top of that, starting with the melody or starting with lyrics?
It's kind of different every time. And I kind of like that, because it means all my songs are sounding a little bit different more these days, which I like. I do find that the majority of my stuff starts with the chord progression, because I find the music inspires me more than words do, at least when I'm starting a song. So if I find something nice on the guitar, then that'll inspire me to find a nice melody, which will inspire me to find a nice set of lyrics, and then so on and so forth. So it kind of goes downhill from there, which is nice.
Do you ever start with lyrics?
A couple times I have. One of my favorite songs, actually, I started with all the lyrics first. But it was kind of a weird thing, because I wrote the song. It's called I Think Too Much. I wrote it while I was having a summer job at like a plastics factory. Like, I was working like this big hydraulic press all day. So it was super boring. And so I would just kind of think about life, and I ended up thinking about these song lyrics, and I could kind of hear the entire song in my head. So I had a more or less idea of what the chords were going to be and how the song was going to be structured. But in that moment, I could just write all the lyrics and just have them there. So that one kind of started pretty much with all the lyrics there, and then I put the music later.
Well, lyrics and melody came together, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
The percussion of the hydraulic press have anything to do with the rhythm?
The monotony of it all had a lot to do with it, really.
It's interesting because I have heard a few times that creative people actually enjoy really tedious jobs because it's not taking any energy away from their creativity. They can turn off their brain or think about music while doing their job, and then it kind of frees them up.
I've definitely found that, and that job definitely helps. I think it is that thing where if you keep your hands busy, then your mind's more open to do things. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps me a lot.
Yeah, and we've heard the inverse too, that people that have even if it's not as a musician, like if a musician is their hobby and then they do something that's very audio intensive, like become an audio engineer or something like that and do that all day, then they have little energy left to do music, to do songwriting.
And I can also relate to that. Fact, right? Absolutely. Because I have my kind of day job right now is I transcribe music. So people will send me audio files or recorded works, and then I'll just chart them all. Oh. So I'll write out the melodies and chords just from listening to it. And then after 4 to 8 hours of doing that a day, I'm exhausted. I don't want to listen to music or play music.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, yeah, it works both ways.
That's fascinating. Can you talk a bit more about that? So why would people get this done?
A lot of people have, people that have less of a theory background or know less about writing and reading music, they'll write a song that they really like. Or they have an arrangement that they really want to play and musicians to play it, but they don't know how to give those musicians instructions or cues on how to play the song. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's me writing out charts for, a big band or a jazz ensemble.
You're literally writing out like sheet music.
Essentially. Yeah. Like if you've ever learned piano or guitar and had books of the top 10 greatest classic rock songs of all time. Mm-hmm. And then it's like that. So I'll be writing stuff like that in my day job.
Wow. How long does it take you to do a song?
It depends. The stuff I'm doing these days are more simple. Like they just want me to write out like vocal melodies. So a song could take me, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, sometimes half an hour even. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing, big funk arrangements that have, 15 horn parts and a bass mm-hmm. part and the whole drum kit and everything like that, then that might take me like a full day, maybe 2 days.
So are you working from recordings and then,
mm-hmm.
so this is stuff people have played.
Yeah.
Transcribing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. For some arrangements.
So you're dissecting it by ear, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, it's a lot of fun and it's a great exercise and it actually helps my songwriting a lot because I can see, when I see things written out, it helps me kind of dissect it and kind of move it over to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
It's amazing how, I've come to realize this last few years how visual music is.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, if I can visualize the notes, then I can sing it better. If I can visualize the patterns on the keyboard, I know how to play it better.
Absolutely.
You know, it's intensely visual for an auditory art form.
Absolutely. And I actually got really good advice about singing. Like it's a kind of a very small vocal lesson is like, at least it helps me. Like you said, visualizing the notes on a scale, mm-hmm. either written out or on a piano. If I visualize them while I'm singing them, I can hit the pitches more on center.
That's fast. I should try that.
And it depends. I mean, there are people who are more visual learners, as they call
yeah.
them, and people who aren't. So, it you have to try it and see. And I mean, to me, it just came naturally. Because I'm a visual learner. Done.
Yeah. I think I'm the same way. So it worked for me really well too.
Yeah.
What's the process on your on this upcoming release?
The album was really fun to make, and it was kind of strange to make. It's a COVID album. I just made it kind of for the most part just in my bedroom. But it started out. So my last year at Humber, we had a lot of studio time, so I was able to get a bunch of good recordings for some of the songs of like drums in a big room or like a nice, upright or grand piano. And we actually got we got to record like a Hammond B3 organ, which like, I don't have that in my bedroom.
No.
But, so then I graduated. I knew I wanted to make an album. Like I had the songs, but I'd never done a full production myself before. So I spent the last year learning how to mix songs and how to fully produce songs. So I recorded all the guitar parts, all the vocal parts, a bunch of bass parts, synth, and like the MIDI piano parts all in my room just to finish this entire album. And it was really fun. And it was a really cool learning experience, but it was definitely tough because it was the first, you know, full project that I've done like to this scale all by myself.
And how complex are the arrangements then? What's the most complex song, like the most instruments?
They're pretty big. Like I gave them they all have the full band treatment. Some of them are bigger than others. But the first song on the album is one of my newer ones. It's called Echo. And I played everything on there myself except the drums because I don't have a drum kit. And that's got like it's got a piano. It's got, I think, maybe 8 guitar tracks, bass, something like 45 vocal tracks.
Wow.
Some like synth MIDI, like a synth like MIDI cello.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of layers, and I had a lot of fun messing around with that.
So I guess through doing all those transcriptions and stuff, you really learn arrangements.
Yeah, that helped a lot. And at Humber, I took a few arranging classes that I really loved. And one song from my arranging class actually made it on the album because we did a whole lesson on horn arranging.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like, you know, either write a song or take a song and try to arrange horns for it. So I wrote a song just as a catalyst to try and arrange horn parts. And so that was a lot of fun. And so from that class, I took a lot about specifically horn arranging and vocal arranging, which I think are really fun and are really cool to do when you layer, like I said, like 45, 50 tracks.
That's crazy. Which is the song with the horn arrangements?
It's called Sadie. It's the third track off the album.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How was it working in isolation? Like not having anyone, I don't know how much you collaborate with before, but not having anyone to give you feedback or did you?
It was strange. Yeah, it was very strange. And I mean, it's called isolation for a reason. It was very isolating. And there were a lot of ups and downs because it was kind of like just me. At first it was cool because I had no deadlines. No one's expecting anything. You know, no one's like, oh, you know, it's almost December. Everybody's got to put out an album now. You know, it's like, I just had all this time on my hands. But then once I got closer to finishing it, there's a lot of doubts that kind of creep up. It's like, oh, is everybody gonna like this? Am I good enough? Are the mixes good enough? So it was a lot of ups and downs that way, but I'm really excited to have it out and I'm super, super happy with how everything's sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the release strategy? Do you have videos planned for it or how are you planning on taking over the world with this?
It's pretty much just going to go out and see how it flies. You know, I had the singles that went out, Santa Barbara Pier at the beginning of August and then Angelina at the end of August. And they've been doing pretty well. So it's just going to be kind of keep doing a bunch of interviews and some TV spots and hopefully people like it.
Right. Can you talk
maybe
a little bit about
someday play live?
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Definitely come up to that. Can you talk a little bit about song Angeline? Where did it come from and what was the genesis?
Yeah. Angeline was a song that was, I think it's my favorite song that I've ever written. And it's also the simplest and shortest song I've ever written, which maybe there's a correlation there, but who knows? Yeah. But it started because I was in a long distance relationship, during the pandemic. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in a long distance relationship.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough. Mm-hmm. So this is a song all about kind of how it feels and the doubts and the heartache and the longing and how it can, and how it can possibly go wrong. So I started writing this song just because like I had just had this very simple progression of like a really nice, you know, G add 9 chord going out in E minor 7. And then the name Angeline just popped into my head. Like I'd never met anybody named Angeline or I didn't even know it was a real name. but it flowed really nice with the melody that just kind of came with the word. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just went from there.
It's got a lot of soft consonants, so it sings nice, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen.
Angeline, do you miss me like I miss you? you losing sleep and losing faith that we'll ever make it through. Angeline, Angeline, oh Angeline, Angeline, we don't talk like we used to. We just stare at our screens, miniature versions of each other, wondering what to do. Angeline, Angeline, oh Angeline, when you were leaving I said it'd be easy. Why did you believe me? Why did you believe me? When you were leaving, I said this would be easy. Why did you believe me? Why did you believe me? Believe me? Believe me? Angeline, you please say I love you, because the farther apart, the fonder my heart, and the less I'm sure it's true. Angeline, Angeline, oh Angeline,
it's just terrific.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I think the verse 3 in particular is just beautifully heartbreaking, because it's so true, you know?
Thank you.
You miss someone more and more, and your doubts grow more and more at the same time. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, I was really proud of that verse, because I think it encompassed kind of the whole message of the song pretty well.
Yeah, in so few words. Yeah, no, that's terrific. And
thank you.
As is the rest of the song.
Yeah. That's great.
The bridge is kind of the longest part of the song.
Yeah, it really is. And but it's just it's just one short sentence repeated. Yeah.
It's language wise is very, very simple.
Yeah.
So how,
that's kind of why I'm liking it.
Yeah.
How intact is this version from your first idea? Did it go through a lot of editing, or was this pretty well?
Actually, this is one that kind of had the least amount of editing of any of the songs. It was kind of least amount. And I think that's because it was so, maybe so personal and so real.
Did you resist the urge to like give it more?
Yeah, I did. You know, there are a lot of times where I'm like, oh no, it needs to be longer here. It needs just like, needs different chords here. It needs like a really different section. But then once I got past that, I kind of embraced the simplicity of it and just kind of let it speak for itself. Cause there's only, three chords. No, there's in the verse, there's two chords. The chorus is only two chords, and in the bridge there's like three chords, but they're all like the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, very simple in that respect. Mm-hmm.
I found it rhythmically kind of complex though, because your guitar playing, it's all off beats.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like me as a drummer, I'm like, where's the down? Where's the downbeat? Where's the, like I'm trying to like where to put the kick? You know,
mm-hmm. I'm trying to exactly. Find that. Yeah,
and the melody. You know, it meanders a little bit. Your tempo changes, and I think at the end of the chorus, it's like the meter changes or something, or there's a bit of a pause at least before you go back into the verse.
Yeah, so just kind of just pause it there.
Yeah, so it feels like an extra beat, and then go on. So, I mean, like we were saying before, like okay, chord wise simple, lyric wise simple, rhythmically complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's where you introduce the complexity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was fun. It's that specific groove. I always call it the train groove, just because it kind of like sounds like a train. At least the drum beat that usually goes with that. Like if you've ever heard John Mayer's "Stop This Train,"
Oh yeah.
You know, that's that kind of groove. And I love that's one of the most fun kind of things to play on guitar, because it just moves really well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a nice thing to have when it's kind of just guitar doing it.
Yeah. Brushes on snare. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked was the fact that you only have three words in your chorus, well, four. But yeah. And it didn't seem like it was missing anything. So it's, you know, we as songwriters, we can focus on trying to be too wordy and have too much stuff. And sometimes just saying like the name three times is more than enough, really.
Honestly. And I think that's why I love this song. And that's why I love name songs. Like, I love writing songs about like where the title is the name. And like I said, there's another song on the album called Sadie. And then on my very first album, there's a song called Caroline. Mm. And I find that name songs, at least for me, they help bring a very specific focus to the song. Because when you have somebody's name, you can, the entire time writing the song, you see that person in your head, and they're not going to change because they're always going to be Angeline. So being able to have that focus, I think, really helps guide the theme to just stay the same the whole song. So I've definitely written songs before where I'll write the first verse, I'll write the second verse, do the chorus, and by the third verse, I look back, I'm like, it doesn't really all line up. Like, it's all just like a little bit different. Like, it's almost like when I'm writing a verse, I'm thinking about something different than I was in the second verse. So having a name, I think, grounds it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hmm.
So this album, how is it different from your first? What have you learned, or what changed, or did you have more control over the direction you wanted it to go in?
All of the above. It's almost like what is the same between the two, really? my first one is very stripped down. It's mostly just acoustic in terms of like production and arrangement and stuff. But I've definitely grown a lot as a songwriter. Like I said, taking things a lot more simply. And I think that helps bring the emotion out a lot more. And definitely having a lot more control over everything, because I was able to, you know, produce it all myself and mix it all myself. I could finally have what's in my head come out through the speakers. And that was really cool to finally be able to do. Because there is definitely something when somebody else mixes your songs or somebody else produces it. There's at times even slightly a lack of communication, where you don't be able to get across exactly what you want to be hearing. Because sometimes it's hard to say. It's like, oh, I want this to be a little brighter here. I want this very specific thing to change, but it's hard to communicate that when you're not the one twisting the knobs.
True that.
Especially if you don't know the terminology sometimes, you know, or just like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're trying to, I want this to be, because, you know, they always say talking about music is like dancing about architecture. Mm-hmm. It's a very hard thing to communicate. So it can be.
That's why we do it every week.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we're great dancers.
You're fantastic.
We can't dance.
But it can be tough because, you know, you're working with someone and they have their own ideas. And sometimes you think, well, maybe their ideas are not bad. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you're going, well, it's good. It's not quite what was in my head, but it's good. But
yeah. And I mean, and there's definitely two sides to everything, you know, like you have that compromise where maybe it's not exactly what you imagine, but having another person working there brings their own ideas to the table.
Yeah.
So if you can get a good match with somebody, then you can make something, I think, that's really fantastic that neither of you would be able to do on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best thing about collaboration. Mm-hmm. Do you find lyrically from first album to second album, like you find yourself digging a little bit deeper or being able to do it with fewer words or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think with this album, it's a lot more personal. I finally started writing songs more about my own experiences rather than like writing stories about things that could happen. Because I mean, like when you're writing songs and you're like 16 or 17, you haven't done anything yet. Like, what are you supposed to write about? Yeah. And I mean, even now when I'm 23, like I still haven't done much, but I've definitely done a lot more. So, you know, being able to have those personal experiences to talk about and really express the emotions that I've felt firsthand, I think shines through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's always a moment when, you know, you have the emotion, you have the experience, but then the flipping moment about, okay, this is actually a song.
Yeah.
And what's the hook? What's the central
exactly
thing of it in this whole muddle of emotions is really the craft part of it and the zoning in and focusing in on that, because you know everyone has, you know, a myriad of emotions no matter how old you are and a myriad of experience, but I think the maturity comes through when you're able to craft a song out of it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think I've been fortunate to have a lot of good opportunities where I've been to a lot of like seminars and workshops and classes about songwriting. So I've built up my base of, I guess, songwriting theory that helps me, get to the point quicker in my songwriting and have mm-hmm. better structures and forms without having to think too hard about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something that, training does do. I mean, many musicians are worried that by having training is going to kill their you know artistic creativity, but really what it does, it just helps you to get to what's in your head quicker and easier.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that can be true, that it can kill your creativity, but I think just at first, like while you're learning how to use those tools, it can be very rote. Mm-hmm. And I found that, like, you know, learning guitar and learning jazz at school when I was, you know, learning jazz and it was all very, you know, read this book about it and then apply it. It's like, this doesn't feel right. You know, this feels dead. You know, it doesn't feel like it feels like
an exercise.
Exactly. It always feels like an exercise. But then, you know, 3 years later, having that base, now I can take what I want without even thinking and express myself in the best way possible. But I had to go through that kind of slog of just doing exercises first to make it sound good. And it's mm-hmm. the same thing with songwriting for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that on the show the last couple of years. We've been doing songwriting challenges once a year.
those are great. I love stuff like that.
You know, and sometimes, I mean, the first one I did, I think it did feel like an exercise. I'm just following the rules of the assignment and okay, mm-hmm. whatever, right? But then you're right. You got to kind of go through it again and say, okay, what can I do to make this better and not
yeah, feel like to make it actually sing, to make it actually feel like a song.
Yeah, yeah.
A fun challenge next time might be to write a song based on a name.
Yeah.
Because that would be a really interesting, it's something I haven't done.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, but it would be an interesting exercise, I think.
Yeah. I find it to be a lot of fun.
I remember when the Bernica Ladies first came out and they had that one single Enid.
Oh, I love that song.
It's a fantastic song. But at the time, everyone was like, that's like the worst name for a song, but they didn't work.
Which is why it's so impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's such a weird name to sing.
Yeah.
Yes. Like
better than Agatha.
Yeah. Or Derek.
So it's got a nice percussive, series of syllables.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Nothing against any of our Agathas listening. Or just
no, that's true. But it's true. Most of the songs, Sean's is a perfect example. Soft vowels and long extended vowels. Those are the ones that sing the most smooth.
Yeah, you want some sustain in there,
right? Like if you're rapping, cat-o. Maybe Agatha's the way to go.
Yeah, well, that is true. A really good name. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Would be good.
You know, it depends on what you want, but
yeah. I think everything can work in specific contexts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, it was a brilliant song, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Excellent stuff. We're really looking forward to the whole album.
Great success with this second album. I hope all this time in COVID has going to lead to great things for you.
Me too. Yeah.
You're better.
Now you can get out and share it. Oh, I hear the neighbors playing the song to tell us that our show is just about over. Thank you so much for joining us, Sean. That was great. Wonderful song.
Thank you so much.
And for our audience, please send your impressions of the show on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to @songtalkradio, or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos, full episodes, and all of us in little boxes. And please like and subscribe. That's very important for us, because otherwise we, you know, run out of money for our microphones and picks and guitar strings.
Lose our whole reason to be here.
And, of course, Yeah, exactly. And please stop by the site at songtalk.ca. There's all kinds of wonderful things there. You can find links to our products, books, and web services that we mentioned on Song Talk Radio. And also, you should subscribe to Song Talk Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com, Spotify, or Podcast Addict. And don't forget, you can also sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. There's just so much you can do. And, of course, join us at our next Song Talk meetup next month. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend on the meetup. And we got people from all around the world, which is quite fun. So stop by songtalk.ca for the link to the meetup. And if you want more of us, you can find Neil at
neilmodi.com.
Excellent. And Phil, where would one find more Phil?
PhilEmery.ca.
Perfect. And Sean, what's the best social media way to get all of you?
You can find me on Instagram. It's at Sean Bertram. Or on my website, SeanBertramMusic.com. Or if you're on TikTok, at Sean Bertram Music.
And for our listeners, that's excellent. S-E-A-N, right?
Yes, S-E-A-N.
Perfect. And me, Instagram, Proudfoot420. That's about it. So please stop by our website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows, find out how you might become a guest, and most importantly, please keep on writing. Let us know what you're doing. Stay safe, everyone.
Good night.
So long. Good night.